I have here a journal, RJJ journal, exactly 1 year ago. Fall 2016. Okay, Sukkos 5777. Exactly 1 year ago, there was a fantastic article titled Brit Mila, Issues, Historical Controversies, and Contemporary Halachic Issues, written by Rabbi Eliyahu Osher Pereiro. Is there any Pereiro? Say how you pronounce it?
Pereiro.
Pereiro. You know who he is? You personally know who he is? Okay, so obviously he's a very talented Arabi. He's a moyel bumche, and it is a fantastic article, because if even someone like me was squeamish and never saw Bris Mila and has no plans ever to actually look and watch what goes on. So, and he explains to you in
with pictures?
No, Chas Hashem pictures. And he explains to you the issues. And until I read this article, I had no appreciation, even though we learned Aruch HaShulchan, Hilchos Bris Mila, and you learn about Bris Mila in the Gemara over and over. But it's amazing how many controversies and how many issues are present in Bris, in the modern day way Bris Mila is done. There is such a broad spectrum, and there is so much dispute, and there are so many issues. Now, we're not even going to touch the issue of Mitzitza Lepeh. That's not even discussed here. Mitzitza Lepeh, we once discussed that. That's one issue. Forget about that. Let's just discuss all the different issues relating to Bris Mila. And the first issue is the old way to do Bris Mila versus the new way to do Bris Mila. The old way to do Bris Mila is a two-step process. Now, what do we mean by a two-step process? There are two foreskins. There are two skins on what is called the Atara. There is a double skin. The old days, the Moyel, and it's still done today probably by a very significant number of Moyelim, it's done in the two-step process. This is the way it was done traditionally. The Moyel would pull. Now, he gives over here, I never understood this, I never even want to understand this, but he gives a very simple mushel, and just tries to, I apologize if it's too gory for any of you. If some of you, I know it's not. some of us, it's a little bit good, but here's the mushel he gives. He writes over here, and it makes it very, very, takes away some of the harshness. That's the balya, be careful with that. But he gives the following example. A person that's wearing socks on their shoes. You're wearing socks, right? You're wearing a pair of socks. And you want now to cut the socks in such a way where the socks will only cover the sole of the feet, but not the toes. You want the toes to be exposed. You're wearing a nice pair of good wool socks, and the socks cover your entire foot, including the toes, and you now want to cut the socks in such a way where the toes will be exposed. So what do? It's very simple. You take a marker, and you mark on the sock where the toes begin. You're wearing the socks, you take a red magic marker, let's say you're wearing a white pair of socks, and you mark on the red pair of socks where the toes begin. Where does the sole end, and where do the toes begin? So far, everything is fine and good. You then take your hands and you stretch. Socks, stretch. You stretch, you're still wearing it. You're not taking off the socks. They just stretch it. You stretch it past your, as far as you can get, past your toes, as far as you can go. You then take a knife and you cut along the marker, the line where you've indicated this is where, when you're going to let go, when you're going to let go after it's stretched, now the socks will retract, and the socks will only be covering the area of the foot until the toes. Very simple. You pull, you make a mark, you pull the socks out, you stretch it. After you stretch it, you cut. Okay, that is the way Mila is done. That is the way Mila was traditionally and is traditionally done. It's done through stretching. It's done through stretching, and then a cut is done with a knife, a metal knife, and an ismol, a metal knife, and then that is called the orla. That is the outer foreskin. It's completely cut away. It's no longer there. Now, Bris Mila is not yet done. After this is done and the outer skin has been removed, there is a very thin membrane that is still covering the toes. So traditionally, a moel will use his fingernails, now this is a very, very important point, to rip, not to cut away, not going to be removing anything. There's just going to be, now this membrane is perfect. It covers 360 degrees. The fact that it's circular gives it strength. And now nothing's going to be cut away. There's just going to be basically a split. It's going to be ripped. A split will be made along the sides with the fingernails, and then it's going to be peeled backwards towards the body, toward, let's say, where the ankle is, where the foot is, backwards.
Okay.
Now that has a very great medical advantage. When that is done, you may realize this, is that very thin membrane acts as a skin graft. When the orla is cut, there is a roughness, there is a sakon, there is exposure. When the orla, when the person stretched the sock, right, he stretched the sock past the toes, and a cut was made, that's something that's very painful. That's something which is causing the skin to, there's a roughness. Then when the moel lets go and it snaps back, there's still been an incision. Then when the thin membrane is just ripped and is folded back towards the body, it covers the incision. It covers that incision, and being that the membrane is natural and to this, to the outer foreskin, it assists to a very large degree in the healing process. This is the way Mila was done traditionally. A two-step process. The removal of the orla entirely through cutting, first through stretching, and then cutting. And then the inner foreskin is stretched backwards, the second step, that's called the priya. The mila is called the cutting, the stretching and the cutting of the outer foreskin. And the priya is the folding, is the ripping. You have to rip. There must be a split in the inner skin. And then it's peeled backwards. That is what is called the priya. And that in turn reveals the atara entirely. The two layers have been removed, and it's called nisgalsa ha'atara. If you ever go to a bris, I've seen this now a lot lately, it became now a new minhag. I don't know why it's new, but I mean, this is where you actually hear very loud the sandik scream out nisgalsa ha'atara after they finish. It depends who does. Some I've seen whatever. Some if you listen carefully, the next time you go to a bris mila, you're going to hear someone say niskalsa ha'atara. That basically means the meal is complete. It means the two foreskins have been removed. The first has been completely severed through stretching and cutting, a cutting act. Vayomol, the Targum says vayol means to cut. He says to cut the Hebrew, we don't have time to cut. And then the priya is done when the inner foreskin is ripped and is peeled backwards. Okay, now.
And it heals that way?
And it heals very well that way. Adrabba, that type of healing is ideal. Because that is because the inner membrane, when it's peeled backwards, it is very beneficial to the healing process because it's covering the wound. And it's covering the wound with something that is natural. He writes here that it acts as a skin graft. Now, why doesn't everyone do this? Now, the reason is as follows. First of all, what I've just told you requires very, very great skill. Skill. You got to be one of a kind to do this in a way that you know what you're doing, to do this right. It sounds so easy, right? And theoretically, everything is very easy. Halacha l'maisa, you have to know what you're doing. You require very, very few moyalim have the skill to do it so easy. There's blood coming when you make when the cut is done. There's blood because there's nerves. Yeah. There'll be a lot of blood, yeah. And you have to know exactly where to cut. Yeah. I told you, I gave you the thing with a sock. Mm-hmm. So the person takes a magic marker on your white sock. There's no marker. There's no. You have to make an estimation. They have to do an estimation. If you cut too little, according to many poskim, it's not a kosher bris milah. It's a very, very big problem. He writes something in the whole Akdama that there are so many moyalim that don't know what they're doing, and many people, according to some, they don't have a kosher bris milah, and they don't even know about this. They go their entire life. Their entire life, he writes over here, he's a 92-year-old man. A 92-year-old man went through a surgical procedure, a charedi, because he discovered when he was 92 years old, I don't know, he doesn't say where it is, 92 years old, that the bris milah was not done properly. I don't know. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. This is what it says. He writes, Rabbi said, yeah, in a Hanani. Yeah, that's right. That's what he gave very go to a urologist. A 92-year-old man goes to the urologist, Simitzius, and the urologist is a Shoyma Shabbos, and he says to the person, I see you had a bris milah, but I'm telling you, I know, I'm a urologist, that it was not done like a halacha. So the rabbi, he says, you're crazy, I'm 92 years old, I never bris milah. And he goes to his rabbi, and they go to a mumche, they go to an expert in milah, and he says he's right, the urologist is right, it's not a kosher bris milah, the mill did not do it right. And it appears, when he writes over here, it's maisim b'chol yoyim. And he writes a lot of horror stories, we are the real horror stories, and this he writes is very, very common. Gerim are usually adults. And not every ger had a bris milah in the hospital when he was 1 or 2 days old. So the, and so hatofastam bris is not a solution. There are many ger that require a full bris milah, and it's a surgical procedure. It's done with anesthesia. It's done in the hospital, and it's done by moyalim. And being that a person is an adult, it's much, much more complex. And many times the moyalim, there are not that many moyalim who are experienced to know how to do a bris milah for an adult. And you go, the doctors, this, the, who does it? And many times the bris milah is not done lahalacha. And what happens? The person, he thinks he's the ger. There's milah, there's tefillah, and kabbalah samitzvahs. You're not going to catch a fly like that. there's milah, there is tefillah and kabbalah samitzvahs. Very good. He gets married. Most gerus involve, because they want to get married to a Jew, they get married, and then they have children, and then 5 years later, 10 years later, when they go to their urologist, the urologist, Shoyim HaShabbos, says, you know, your bris milah is no good. You go back to the rabbi, he writes this, Maisim B'chol Yom, go back to the rabbi, because, you know, we're dealing with an adult. I told you it's very complex, and sometimes it's so complex they think they're doing it good. It appears it was good, but really it was not good, because there are so many different issues which we're not going to discuss. We'll go into details. And they go back to the rabbi. The rabbi says, "Taka, it wasn't the kosher bris milah." So do you know what that means? It means not only do you have to have another bris milah, you have to have another kabbalas gerus, and your children are not Jewish. The mother is Jewish, but it means...
Let's get married again.
It means things like that, right. The marriage, right, very good. The marriage, there are problems, since Geirus involves, he's going from a Goy to a Yid, and part of the Iker Yisodis of going were not done, and everything assuming was okay, and he proceeded, it creates a whole series of problems. He'll lead a new Kiddushin. It'll then mean that the children out there have a tainted Yichos. It means that the child was born out of wedlock. You know, there are a lot of different, there are different issues. So these are very serious issues. He writes that Rav Sternbach, in Eretz Yisrael, he advocated very, very strongly, and no one wanted to listen to him. There should be a system where every single bris milah has a mashkiach, meaning another moil. You come to a bris milah, any moil you want. I like this moil, gesunt heit. But you have to go higher, pay another moil, not to do the bris milah, to be the observer. Because 99% of the population, Rabbanim included, have known nothing about Mila. They know zero about Mila. Mila is a specialty. Those who know Mila, all they tell you is, trust me. That's the way it goes. Trust me. I know. Just trust me. I'm telling you I know everything. And unfortunately, people who tell trust me, they don't do everything in halacha. He advocated that there should not be allowed in Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, under his authority. Anyone who does the bris milah, every moil who does the bris milah, there should be a requirement that there be a second moil. Pick anyone you want, any established moil. Any should be there to be the mashkiach. you choose your moyel, and you have another moyel to be there to watch. And through having two moyalim, one who does, one who watches, you are guaranteed. Okay, Rabbi Isai, please go Rabbi Isai, you are guaranteed to bring out all of the issues, and the quality of Mila will vastly, vastly improve. It's a great idea, and nothing became of it. No one wanted, it's probably all about money. You're going to have to pay money for another model, right? So no one, this was not accepted, but he says this would solve all the problems that there are today. And today there are a lot of problems.
What's the halacha when there's a Mila and someone, you know, says I'm not happy with it?
So you go to another moyel. So you do it again.
You do shkita lehamdul.
No, it's a matter. The matter is neskal soha atara. Sometimes the atara has not been. It's not been the amount that needs to be removed has not been properly removed. Not the outer skin, not the inner. I'll give you the examples in a few moments. Not the outer skin, not the inner skin. So this is something that people are not going to notice. So Mr. Planet, please. Too much talking.
Okay,
I know. You'll tell me. Bring it up, please. Let me just say my piece.
Mystery, starkly.
So we'll talk about.
All knew what they were doing.
No, that's the problem. They did not know what they were doing. That's the problem.
That's the point. It's not a problem.
It is a problem.
We're all Jewish and no one's questioning it. You have a bris mila, you have a bris mila.
Until a person goes to the urologist, he's 92 years old, and the urologist tells him, that he got a problem. Let me say that. Right, please, you only have a few minutes. I kindly ask you to hold back on the comments until we finish. So this is what he suggested, and unfortunately, nothing came in. In Eretz Yisrael, there is a mila, and Eretz Yisrael is that. Eretz Yisrael is a mila, is that bris mila is monitored by the rabbanut. There are two different ministries that are involved: the ministry of health and the ministry of religion. A moil has to be licensed in Eretz Yisrael. What he writes here: in America, the only thing you need to be a moil is a knife. Is a knife.
But they advertise that they're associated with this hospital.
Okay, that's a mila for you, but that's an advertisement. You're not in America, you don't need any license to do bris mila, zero. A person says, I'm a qualified moil, I was taught by so-and-so, that's it, you're in business. That is a very, very big problem. The mila is not mounted, so maybe in the, maybe in the Hampshire community we go and we focus on a very few moyalim who we know for a fact are mumchim, but you have to understand the whole world is not flappish. Okay, the whole world is not a little clean of flappish. You go outside the Dalai Lama's of flappish, you deal with the whole America, and there's a lot of Yiddishkeit throughout America, and there are a lot of moyalim, and there are a lot of people that are not religious, who want a moyal, and there are moyalim who claim their moyalim, they do bris mila, and they're not all removing the complete outer skin, and they're not all removing the complete inner skin. Now, this is the technique, and these are some of the issues. Now, here is the new way to do bris mila. This became a new. Now, there's another issue I didn't explain. As he brings this in the footnote, I told you to do the meal the way I just described to you, the two-step process by stretching, cutting, and then pulling the foreskin backwards to cover the incision requires great skill and precision. Also, some feel that you're not allowed to wear gloves. You have to do this with your fingernails. And in fact, according to the Sefer Kabbalah, the only reason why the fingernail was created on a person is just for this purpose. Problem is, that creates a health issue. Okay, that's a very big health issue, which many people say that we should take into consideration in modern times. What?
Unfortunately, you don't have that fingernail.
Okay, in a chadan. So this has become today a health issue. So skill is a big problem. Very few people have the dexterity, the skill to do this properly, and the health issue, because this has to be done with your bare hands. There's no gloves can be used because that requires such precision. You need to be fingernail. And the next thing is, this is very shocking, is that today, it seems niskadnu hadoros. It's not healthy for the child when it's cut in this fashion, because there's a tendency that when it's done in this way, more foreskin is removed than is absolutely necessary. When the arla is done in the traditional way, where it's stretched and then there's a cut, you cannot be precise where you're cutting. And if too much of the outer foreskin is removed, it can lead to some very serious health issues for the child down the road. So it's a sakana. And unless you're mamish, the biggest mumcha, to know what you're doing over here, why get, you have to know it becomes a health issue. Besides, the technique is difficult, but there's also too much of the oral is removed by stretching. It's not so simple. All right, I have to give me my five minutes, please. So what have people advanced? So people have come forward. They have come up with a new technique, and the new technique is there are different ways to do this. Is to remove is before the aural is taken off. Before the aural is taken off, they use either a probe or they use like a type of scissors, and they basically remove before they remove the outer foreskin. They basically cut the inner foreskin. And I don't know the exact biology, what the anatomy, but basically before they do the stretching, to do the cutting, they are already cutting. Again, it's still cutting. We're not dealing with anything, any clamps yet. They actually use a probe or they use some type of knife to actually, along the edge of the atara, to already separate, to cut away where the area where the inner foreskin is.
It's a circular cutting.
Then, whatever it is, then, let's please give me my whole, then they do pretty much the same procedure. They do the stretching and the cutting, but when a cut is made before they begin, they're able to remove in one shot, the outer skin and the inner skin, and being that they've already made a cut before, there's more precision, so there's less of the health issues are minimized.
So they do priya,
but they do the priya bivas achas with the removing of the arla. The traditional way is you first remove the arla, stretch the arla, and you cut, and then the priya is done backwards.
Not removed,
exactly, but it's cut. There is a rip that is made. The new technique is before the arla is stretched, there is first a cut made, and that cut is primarily made to loosen the inner foreskin,
which is with the probe.
The probe goes in to remove the inner foreskin, and then when they proceed to do the stretching and the cutting, it's going to stretch off also together with the outer foreskin, it's going to also remove the inner foreskin. So here, it's unlike the traditional way where the inner foreskin is bent backwards, here the inner foreskin is completely removed.
So the healing process is more difficult.
For healing it's more difficult, that is correct. And it requires a different type of bandaging, and it's a longer healing process.
It's a quicker mila
with less complications, but it's a more complex healing and requires the bandaging is a very important part of the process. It takes an additional day for the smell to come back and to make sure everything is healed correctly, because in this approach, the way that you're doing the mila and the pre in one shot, and the inner foreskin is completely removed, unlike the traditional way where the inner foreskin is not removed. The inner foreskin will remain with the person the rest of his life bent backwards. So this is something which is new. Now they claim there's a teshuvah Rav Chaim Goyin about 1,000 years ago. A thousand years ago, Rav Chaim Goyin talks about this technique, and he says this is the minute he writes to see what they do in this certain city. Rav Moshe takes hold that the people come along and question the authenticity of this is really from Rav Chaim Goyin. Someone later on came along and fabricated this whole thing, made up this whole thing, it's not authentic. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he debates this issue. He writes all the course for this, and he says we assume that it's authentic, and there are reasons why we know it's authentic, and you see already that this one step technique was done already 1,000 years ago, and it's 100% fine. It's 100% good to do. It has a lot of advantages. You don't need the same degree of skill, and it's healthier. There's less health issues for the child down the road in the future. Yeah. The problem, though, is from Chazal in the Gemara, it says there are two steps. There is a mila, and then there's a priya. You're not going to be using your fingernails. You're not doing it in the traditional way. Rav Moshe says it doesn't make a difference. The only thing that counts is that niskal soho atara. The atara should be exposed, both layers of the skin should be removed. However you get to that conclusion, that destination, that is A-OK. And if today we have a technique which involves, now again, there's cutting. No, there is definitely cutting involved. There is blood involved. If there's cutting and there's blood, and you're coming to this and you're telling me that there's less health issues, it's fine. It is 100% A-OK. Give me a few more minutes. I'm out of time. Halacha l'maisa. Okay, now, this is the Rav Moshe is famous for saying that this is mutter. And a lot, it appears when he writes over here, a lot of mayalim use this technique, and everyone is simich on Rav Moshe. A lot of other mayalim say, Rav Moshe never ever said this should be done l'chatchil. It's only a bidiyavet. And they oppose to this for many reasons. They oppose to this. It's not traditional. You're breaking up the mila from the periya. You're not using your fingernail. But when they do this technique, they use gloves. And even Rav David Feinstein, I think Rav Reuven Feinstein, says that his father never said this l'chatchila. People have taken his father's words and they've abused it. They've gone too far. Rav Moshe, when he would send Talmidim to learn Bris Mila, he only sent them to Moyalim that did Bris Mila in the traditional two-step process. So this is a very big controversy, Bichlal, this technique, which appears to be very, very common. Now there's another technique, which is according to almost every single Poseik, Osir. It's not a kosher Bris Mila. That's called the Mogain clamp. The Mogain clamp, the technique is where instead of cutting the arla and cutting the inner foreskin, they use a clamp to crush. They crush it. They crush the arla. There's a very precise clamp which is put around that area, and it's when the clamp is closed, it very carefully crushes the arla and the inner foreskin, the outer and the inner, and it prevents any flow of blood to go into, and then it is removed. Then the arla is just basically pulled off. It's pulled off. The problem with this, there are three problems with this. Number one is, it's known that this is extremely painful for the baby. Okay? It's extremely... What?
How is that known? They asked the baby?
I don't know.
The probe is very painful also.
The probe is very painful? Okay. That's what they say. This is very painful, and many people say you're not allowed to torture the baby more than you need to. Okay? You're not allowed to torture the baby. It's extremely... Number two, there is no blood. This technique has an advantage. There's no blood. Incredible. One of the key elements of Bris Mila is Hadam Bris. This technique does not, and that's why the Moelim love this technique, because they don't have to come back the next day to bandage the baby. The whole thing is done in 1 minute. It's done. It's finished. In the hospitals they do this because it's it. It's done. There's no blood. It's a bloodless Bris Mila. The bandaging is very, very simplistic, and there's no complications. And Moelim who have to go out of town to go do a Bris Mila don't have to stick around another day. Don't have to worry about the complications that arise from the bandaging the next day, because it's a one-shot deal. There's no blood. Being that there is no blood, this is a problem. Number three is there is no cutting. The word vayomel in this week's parasha, the Targum translates it with the word which means to cut. There is no cutting taking place in this instance. The mice is done through crushing. It's a crushing act. So all the poskim say that this technique is not allowed, is not permitted, even though he goes on to say that still there are many mayalim that are doing this. And they claim, I don't know, they have all these different excuses why it is valid. Now another issue, and this is a very, very big issue, he writes over here, a lot of mayalim do this, is that they're not, they try to do the two-step procedure. The two-step process is where they stretch, cut, and then they take the inner foreskin and they fold it over. But instead of folding it over, what they do is they don't rip it, because to rip it is a very delicate procedure, and then to fold it is a very delicate procedure. They just pull it back. they allow the circumference, the inner foreskin, to remain in its cylindrical form, and they pull it back. And they pull it back towards the body, towards the stomach. Is that permitted? There's a major, major controversy if the inner foreskin is not ripped or not removed, but instead is just pushed back. First of all, it could happen that later in life it goes back. That's a very big issue because that's a very big issue. And even if it's not going to go back, and if it's done in a way where it's not going to go back later in life, it has not been removed. It has not been ripped. It has not been ripped. Some consider the priya has never been done. And priya is not done. It's not a kosher
what's
period.
The mile, what's the mile of doing that?
It's easy. The mile is, it's easy. There's not, well, there's no pain.
Better.
It heals better. The atar has been the skull. It's been revealed. It's been pulled back. But the priya, but the inner foreskin has not been ripped. It has not been cut. There's no incision.
Can you tell later on that it wasn't ripped?
Yes. The experts can tell. Yes. People who know can tell. So it's been pulled back. So on the one hand, the atara has been revealed because the inner foreskin has been pulled back. On the other hand, the inner foreskin has not been done. What it says in the Gemara, it's not in Shulchan Aruch, has not been ripped, has not been pulled, it's not been folded back, and it's not been done like in modern times. What Moelim do today is they completely remove the inner foreskin. It's not been done either. And that is a very big debate. So whatever para in halacha means, para can either mean you didn't do priya at all, or you did priya in a way where you pulled it back instead of ripping it and folding it back. So these are some of the major controversies among of Moelim. And then there's also a technique. Another technique that some Moelim do is they don't even remove the outer foreskin. There's a technique where even the outer foreskin can be pulled back, and that, of course, again, the atar is niskala. The atar has been revealed, has been exposed, without the removal of the foreskin. The foreskin has just been pulled back.
So what did they cut?
Nothing. They cut exactly what they cut. Nothing. They were able to go and pull the entire thing back. Some of them do, this what he writes over here, is that some are not so skilled, so they cut the majority or a portion of the atara, but the last portion of the atara, which they're afraid to try to cut with precision because it requires very great skill, the last part of the outer foreskin they pull back. So what do you do in that case? What happens if you have a moyal that does, you know, he does the stretching and the cutting, but he does not cut the entire amount, and the last amount that was meant to be cut off, instead of doing it again to cut it off surgically, it's pulled back. Is that a kosher bris milah? So that's a very big shaila. This is all the achrayim, all that is discussed, and he basically goes on to say is milah. It's not like you think. Okay, I never thought it was such a big deal. You go to bris milah, I never go near bris milah, right? Never go near. You have a moil. What could go wrong with the bris milah? So there are many controversies on how it's done, the traditional way it's done, the way it's done by today, then with the mogen clamp, the mogen shield, and then with this different types of in-betweens of the inner foreskin being pulled back instead of being ripped, on even the outer foreskin partially being pulled back.
What happens to a ger? It's already been done by a doctor.
Hatofas dam bris. It was done in the hospital by a non-Jew. Just blood.
I'm necessary.